As we're continuing this message series today on fruits, vegetables, and faith, why are we learning about being healthy? So we could post a picture on Instagram? So we could trim a few inches off our waist or lose a few pounds with the weight numbers? No, we want to be all we can be until God calls us home because of that conviction, because it's about the blood of Christ. We want to learn about as best as we can to take care of whatever God puts in our hands so that for however long we live, no matter what profession or occupation we have, no matter what our background is, no matter what our bank account is, that we will live a life in representation of Jesus Christ because we hold true to that conviction. And so each week we've been looking at how to be both physically and spiritually healthy. That's the theme of this series. And so this week three principle I want to share with you is straight from the scriptures as well as the medical manual on how to be healthy. And that is this: we have to keep a focus on detoxifying our body and our spirit from inflammation, unhealthy inflammation. Now, you've probably heard of inflammation before. Whenever something, you bruise your arm, maybe your arm gets red, it swells up a little bit. That's your body trying to fight off some type of injury that has been caused to your body. Well, there's also internal inflammation that can happen. And the primary cause of internal inflammation is unhealthy foods. And those unhealthy foods primarily attack my intestinal wall and your intestinal wall. And ultimately, what happens is that it releases a grenade in your gut. That's why sometimes you can eat certain things and you're fine, and you eat something else and you feel horrible. Well, what's happening is your body is trying to wage war against these unhealthy foods. And ultimately, what's happening is that it's trying to prevent unhealthy toxins from being released in our bloodstream. And so nevertheless, when we have what might be considered to be some unhealthy tendencies with our eating physically, it can produce inflammation on the inside. But I'd like to relate inflammation to pride. We could be inflamed with pride. Like, we can have an inflamed ego. Do you know anybody with an inflamed ego here? Okay, you might know a few. You might be looking at him or her in the morning every day. And so the title of our message today is Getting Rid of Ego Inflammation. Ego stands for edging God out. And the same way that we can look great on the outside, but inwardly we can have some inflammation going on in our intestines, in other parts of our body that we are ultimately unhealthy. Spiritually, it could be the same way. We could look like we have it all together, but our heart has not been given over to God. Our ego is on the throne of our life, not God. And it causes problems. And usually it's when the bottom falls out that we realize it, like our health. Some of us wait till there is a major problem to turn around bad choices that we're making. So here's some areas of inflammation. There could be inflammation in our liver. There could be inflammation, as we referenced earlier, in our intestines. There can be inflammation that takes place in our stomach. Now, those are just a few of the places, medically speaking. How about spiritually? You could have an inflamed head. You can have such a big view of yourself that we have to literally butter up the church doors to get you in. Some of you got to walk in sideways because you just think you know it all. Yeah, there's some people, you talk to them about the gospel. There's no way he could part the Red Sea. That didn't happen. How can a virgin give birth? Well, that's just the point. It's not for you to always figure out. He's God. He's sovereign. If you could figure it all out in a laboratory or in a classroom, it would not be divine truth. It has to transcend human understanding. So it could be inflammation of the head with skepticism, with an I-know-it attitude. And that could be the very roadblock that is preventing you from coming to the cross and realizing the peace that God has for you. Some of us have inflamed hands. What do we mean by that? God gave you these hands. We sang it earlier, to lift to Him, not to ourselves. And when we have inflammation going on in the hands, we're using our hands for our own purposes. God did not create you that way. In fact, life doesn't work that way. Many of our frustrations, it comes because we've used these hands for selfish means. We got to use these hands to bring honor to God, to praise Him, to serve for Him, to use the gifts that He's given to us to contribute to the body of Christ. And then, of course, there's the case of an inflamed heart. We could have a prideful heart. You see it. You know where's a hotbed for pride? Not the bar or the saloon. You know where? The church. Some of the biggest prideful people come to the church, and they want to judge. They get saved like everybody else. They come to Christ. And then all of a sudden, they think they get a merit badge. They could judge the way everybody dresses, worships, walks, talks. All of a sudden, they're authority on all things God. Well, last time I checked, there's only one Holy Spirit. We could get caught up with having an inflamed heart, and we get very judgmental. These are all areas of inflammation. Now, the dangers of inflammation. Medically speaking, chronic stress. Your body, that is just an automatic byproduct. When your body has to constantly be fighting unhealthy foods, because the body looks at unhealthy food like a foreign invader into your system because of how God made our bodies. And so when there is unhealthy food, heavily processed food, food that's laced with sugar and salt and unhealthy preservatives, when that food is in our system, God's made your body to react in such a way to go basically into war mode to prevent your body. Again, there's good inflammation and there's bad inflammation. But in a war, there's usually innocent bystanders. And when your body's launching grenades back to protect itself from these foreign invaders that God never wanted in your system, well, there's going to be casualties. And sometimes that is our intestinal wall and other havocs that it wreaks on our lives, and stress is one of them. You know, obviously, there is a medical component to anxiety and stress, without question. And thank God for those who are in that field to help folks in those areas. But stress has also been tied to dieting and inflammation, chronic fatigue. You know, we could constantly be worn down. We're going, wait a minute, I slept 8 hours. Wait a minute, I watch TV with my glasses on. You know, we start going through the checklist. Well, wait a minute, I don't have this going on. Why am I so tired all the time? Well, it could be because there's inflammation going on in our body, and it is literally wearing us down, beating us down, almost like a boxer. You know, there are some boxers, they can knock you out in the first round. But then some of those boxers that have a great jab or a good 1-2 combination, they could beat you with a decision over 12 rounds. Inflammation is like that. Inflammation takes a lot of jabs at us, and it kind of works us over until we're in a sitting duck position. And I like to think of the chronic fatigue danger as one of those. And then, of course, there's chronic disease. There are numerous diseases that are linked to this, including irritable bowel syndrome, which is a very popular one today. Issues that have to do with ulcers forming, issues with abdominal pain, issues that affect our bowel movements. And the list goes on with some of these chronic diseases that come. Diabetes has been linked to inflammation. And so very serious issues that a lot of us might have spent a lot of time going to doctors with and going, you know, taking medicines and how could I do this and how could I do that? Now, obviously, as we've said from the top, there's no get-rich-quick scheme. That was the first message in terms of health as well as our spirit. And we're saying that here. We need to be leery of the effects of inflammation, because those inflammation effects on our medical condition mirror what's taking place in the spirit as well. When we are trusting in ourselves and not in God, when we are trusting in religion, when we are trusting in some ritualistic version of Christianity, we have inflammation going on within our spirit, and it is producing chronic disorders. Some of those chronic disorders is a lack of faith. We're never going to get out of the boat like Peter if we got inflammation going on up here. We're never going to get to the mouth of the Red Sea and trust God to part the Red Sea if we got inflammation going on. And we're certainly not going to be able to even look those difficulty, those situations, those circumstances that come our way, those storms that come our way, with faith, if we have inflammation of the heart and the mind. How many of you have the weather app, the Weather Channel app, okay? You could sign up for notifications. I got one before. At 9:56, it's going to rain. I don't know about you. Sometimes I go and check it. Sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's off. Wouldn't it be good if heaven could send you like a notification on the phone? Hey, you're going to have a bad day today. Just want to let you know. Man, that'd be great. I'll sign up for that notification. You know, you may have gotten already, if you have the church app, the Crossroads app, we sent you a notification this morning, just remind you about church today. It'd be great if we had notifications that we're going to have a lousy day, but it doesn't work that way. And it shouldn't either, because we walk by faith, not by sight, not by notifications. We walk by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to have, without question, a strategy for dealing with inflammation, whether it be physically and especially spiritually. Inflammation is the cause, is the root cause of many diseases, medically speaking. And inflammation, spiritually speaking, is the cause of many diseases that go on within our spirit. And so the last thing that I would want is for any of you to be fractured from the body of Christ. The last thing I would want is not to see you and then bump into you at some, you know, some place out of nowhere, you know, at a ball game or at a store somewhere in the mall and I haven't seen you in 10 years. Hey, how you doing? I don't know, I haven't been to church in years. I'm not walking with the Lord. That would break my heart, and I've had that happen before. Our desire, our goal is that you would walk with God until he calls you home. But in order to do that, because I'm going to have to warn you, there's going to be things that are going to happen that are going to tempt you to walk away from God. There's going to be offers that are going to seem better than God. Don't believe a word of it. Those are lies from the pits of hell. You want to walk with God all the days of your life, and you want to live for his glory until he calls you home. And so I want to invite you to turn with me. We're going to look at just 11 short verses today from Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. He planted this church in Philippi. The gospel was taken to the area of Macedonia. We find out in Acts chapter 16, one of the results of that was the planting and the launching of this amazing church in Philippi. But this church was not without their own circumstances, affected by overtaxation, affected by a famine, affected by the yoke of the Roman Empire, affected by their own financial struggles, poverty being at the tops. This church endured a lot of unkind and unfair treatment, as we would say. Nevertheless, they are an example of faithfulness to God, but not without their own troubles and incidents within the own church. As Paul writes this, part of his reasoning for writing this short four-chapter epistle, this letter to the Philippian church, is because there is an issue going on with inflammation. Imagine that. There's inflammation in the Bible. There was inflammation in this church because there was inflammation in the hearts of two women in this church. And they had an issue. They had something that they couldn't put to rest on their own, and it was causing a problem. And the longer that they let it sit, the bigger the problem got. And so, through this letter of encouraging the church, Paul is also going to speak to the issue of this division that's happening, this inflammation. And we find out that the reason why it's inflammation is because there's a lot of pride going on. And so Paul is going to use this chapter in particular to address that and remind everybody what it's all about. And I am so overwhelmed at times of how relevant the Bible is. It's as if the ink is wet when you open the Bible, because it's relevant to our own lives, because we're going to have divisions within our own heart, within our own home, within our own church, within our own mind. It's going to happen. There's going to be inflammation that takes place. Well, what do we do with it? Well, let's learn. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, he planted the church 10 years earlier. Now, under imprisonment in Rome, he sends this letter with a man by the name of Epaphroditus to take this letter back, which his name means son of encouragement, to take this letter back to the church. We pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, if then there is any encouragement, circle the word encouragement, it's Paracletes in the Greek language. It's closely related to the word we have for the Holy Spirit. If there is any encouragement in what? In Christ. Because that's where the encouragement for the Christian is found, not in circumstances. Because your circumstances are going to be lousy. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation, another word that's closely related to the Holy Spirit, paramathon, and it just simply comes alongside and supports encouragement, of love, if any fellowship, koinonia in the Greek language, which means partnership. Partnership with what? The Spirit. So we have in Christ the Spirit. If any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way. In other words, let's all get on the same page here. Having the same love, not your version of love and my version of love. No, the same love as who? Of Jesus Christ. There's different Greek words for love. This particular word that Paul chooses to use is agape, unconditional love. United in the Spirit. The word united in the Greek language means to be tied together. Not loosely, but tight. We have some former Boy Scouts here. You can make a great knot. That's the knot Paul has in mind here. You don't want me to make a knot. We'll pull apart, okay? Some of you can make a great knot physically. Well, spiritually, we need to make a great knot in the Spirit. United in the Spirit. Intent on one purpose. Well, what's that one purpose? We just heard about it in music, about Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Now, here comes the inflammation evidence. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, because that was the problem. There was a lot of selfish ambition going on, a lot of self-seeking pleasures, or conceit. This is kenodoxia in the Greek language. What's interesting is we learn about something in the end, towards the end of the book of Romans called what we refer to as the doxology. This is almost the opposite of that. The doxology is a statement of praise to Almighty God. A kenodoxa is a praise to self. It's conceit. Interesting here. And so, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but here it is, but in humility. Circle the word humility. Consider others as more important than yourself. Everyone, not some people, not the new people, not the older people, not the middle-aged people, not this race or that race, everyone should look out not for his own interests. This is so countercultural today. People live the opposite way, actually. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. There was inflammation going on. We find out in verse 4 who these ladies were. They had inflammation going on within their own hearts, and the pride was causing a lot of trouble. Spiritually speaking, that could happen to you and I. But we got to combat it. Because it'd be one thing for me to get up here and just say, hey, we got to worry about inflammation, medically speaking and spiritually speaking, but good luck on trying to figure it out. Well, what's the how-to in taking care of inflammation? There has to be things that God has made, physically speaking, medically speaking, nutritionally speaking, that could help you and I. And the answer is yes. In fact, one of the drinks that I have, this green drink that I have, it has dandelion greens in it, and it also has curly parsley. And this helps to fight specifically inflammation. In fact, I brought some of these ingredients here that were given to me just to show it, okay? I have some ginger here, okay? And you thought ginger was just from that old TV show, the shipwreck show. I forgot it. That was before my time. What was the name of that show again? Gilligan's Island, okay? And that's that Gilligan's Island, okay? So, you know, ginger helps with fighting inflammation, having ginger in your diet. And then here is, you know, how many of you have, I have like about 2 feet of grass in front of my house. That's the extent of my mowing of my grass. But, you know, you'll get dandelions. You hate dandelions, but dandelion greens have been proven to be very good for numerous areas of your health. I don't have time to go into all of them. But it also helps with fighting inflammation when this is a steady part of your diet. This is just a reminder that these plant-based gifts, these blessings from God, are not only there for you and I for nutritional purposes, but also to combat what might be some aggressive disease and struggles that we have in our life right now. Now, nobody take that. I need that for the next service, by the way, okay? I have to say that because that's happened a few times. Oh, well, look at this. The church has some extra. No, I need that for the next service. Now, more on ginger and the rest of my friends here in just a moment, okay? It's all coming back to me now, the skipper too, right? The whole song's coming back to me right now, the skipper too. Okay, anyway, back to our regularly scheduled program here. God has given us these blessings to help combat inflammation. Well, God has also given us blessings to help combat our spiritual inflammation. and that is humility. So write this down. Treat inflammation. Treat inflammation. You got to treat it. You can't just know about it. Oh, yeah, I got a little problem with my heart. I got a little problem with my head. Yeah, I kind of trust in myself. Okay, let's move on from just identifying. Now we got to treat it. Treat inflammation with sincere humility. I put that in parentheses because there's a lot of false humility out there today. Sincere humility. What does it mean to be humble? Well, when we're humble, it means that we agree with God. It means that we are not holding on to our own version of what needs to be. Humble means that we're living under the obedience and authority of the Word of God, spiritually speaking. Humility means that I'm willing to go low so that even others could go high. That it's all about Christ, it's not about me. Now, certainly all of you by now have heard of the passing of the great Dr. Billy Graham. An incredible ministry, a man with Daniel-like integrity for 7+ decades. Early on in his ministry, him and the rest of his supporters, his inner circle, made specific decisions to be faithful to their wives, to have transparency with finances, to be committed to serving the local church, and never ever to misrepresent the work of the ministry, especially in the press. Now, these four convictions would be a foreshadowing of the above reproach, blameless character of Billy Graham. And how fitting that during a week that we remember presidents in our country and their illustrious history, that a man who was tapped by God to be a pastor to presidents would go home to be with the Lord. Now, just shy of his 100th birthday, which is on November 7th later this year, Graham said that when he was going to get to heaven, he had a few questions for God, but the first one was this, and I think it speaks of humility. He was going to ask God, why me? Having spoken, done 400 crusades, having spoken person to person with more people than anybody in history, over 215 million, an estimated 2.2 billion people reached through television, through radio, and through other programs. That was what he was going to say, God, why me? And those who were closest to him said that he was able to handle the notoriety, because when they first started out, there was a few flops along the way. And then in 1949, they had this crusade in Los Angeles. And they were ready to pull the plug because the other crusades weren't gathering the big numbers, because that's people always in the numbers, you know. So they didn't gather the big numbers. They were going to pull the plug. Well, God had a different plan. I think he was testing Graham and testing everybody to see, well, where's your faith? Is your faith in numbers or is it in me? Don't have your faith in numbers. Have your faith in the one who wrote the book of numbers. That's where your faith needs to be. Nevertheless, the press decided to push the event. And from there, the rest has been God's glorious history. In fact, Franklin Graham, his son, released a number of publications this week about his father. One of them, which is that on Tuesday and Wednesday, Graham is going to be only the fourth private citizen in our country's history to lie at the Rotunda in Washington at the Capitol. I think that's remarkable. Incredible statement of faith for who he was and the impact he had. But above all of those amazing accomplishments, above being cutting edge with technology, above the integrity, was what he told his son that he wanted his last message to be, but he wasn't strong enough to do it. He wanted his last message to be from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, and it's about humility. And it says, but this, as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. It's all about humility. And it should be for you and I. Now, why is that important? Well, look at the causes of inflammation. Medically speaking, I referenced it earlier. Unhealthy foods, poor nutrition is one of the chief causes of inflammation. Just by you and I paying a little bit more attention and giving some diligence to what we're putting in our body, we could do a great advancement of our physical health. We can even help our aging process. Listen, all of us are aging biologically. I know some of you lie on your age. You're still, you know, the same age you've been for 12 years. I have a relative like that. She always lies about her age. You don't know her. She don't go to church. But I just got to put that disclaimer out there because I have a family that comes to the church. But you don't know her. Now, your chronological aging, you can't stop. You're this age, and next year you're this age. But biologically, you can slow down the aging process. And the same effort that we put into creams and we put into exercise, which is, you know, that's fine, that's good. We need to put in being diligent to God's blessings of nutrition that He's given to us. Spiritually, inflammation comes, as we referenced earlier, from pride. You might have pride in your heart and it's producing problems. Because it does produce problems, medically speaking. We referenced some of them earlier. Here's a few more. Medically speaking, aches and pains. You just can't get over these aches and pains. There's inflammation going on. I could tell you personally, when I'm eating unhealthy, I notice some extra pains that aren't normally there in my life, in my body. You could be injury prone, sore throat. These are just some symptoms. Spiritually speaking, and we see this here in this passage, self-seeking. Well, that was going on here. Self-promoting. Some people, they can't get out of their own way. We need to have a whole message on work on not being seen. Just serve for the glory of God. Stop always attaching yourself to it. Stop looking for a pat on the back. Stop looking for a trophy. You know, we've become a trophy generation where everybody gets a trophy for sports. Well, the same thing is true in church. We don't give out plaques. We may not give out a little, you know, 16-inch person on, you know, shooting a ball or catching a pass, but we want the applause of people. We got to focus on the applause of God. And then we can become self-consumed. It could be all about us. We got to make it all about Christ. As you flip over your notes, listen to how God views this area of inflammation, spiritually speaking. In Proverbs 3:34, why don't we say this verse together? He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. Proverbs 29:23, let's say it together. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. Psalm 138, verse 6, together. Though the Lord is great, He cares for the humble, but He keeps His distance from the proud. If you have distance in your walk with God right now, it is because we have inflammation in the spirit. It's because there is some type of unhealthy pride that you are holding on to. Now, certainly, again, like there's good inflammation that helps your body fight off disease and helps your body take care of an injury, there is such thing as healthy pride. You should take pride in your walk with God. You should take pride in your appearance. You should take pride in your job. You should do a good job on your job because that in itself is a witness. You should try to be a good student. You should take pride in being a good sibling, a good spouse, a good parent, a good child. That's a healthy posture to have. But an unhealthy pride is what's going on here in this passage. When we think we're better than others, when we think we know more than God, or we think we don't need God. See, some of you, you're settling for one foot in the church and one foot out. And you think that works with heaven, but it doesn't. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. You got to be all in for Christ. You have to declare your commitment to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. You cannot just say, you know what, I'm going to settle my account with God when I'm on my deathbed. Here's the thing. You don't know when your deathbed is coming. Well, I grew up with this religion, and I grew up with that religion. Nobody ever went to heaven because they were religious. We have to believe in God's remedy for sin and for spiritual inflammation, and that is exclusively and conclusively, as the Scripture teaches, Jesus Christ. So write this last principle down. Trust Jesus' remedy of sacrifice for healing. If you need healing medically, and you're hearing today that a potential way that God could bring healing to that inflammation that you have going on in your life, whether it is advanced or not, is just by changing nutrition, I would have to be a fool not to listen. If I go, hey, you know what? I'm not going to worry about good nutrition. I'm going to eat any old way I want. You can. We have free will. Free will is our greatest blessing, you've heard me say, but it's also our greatest curse, because we could choose to do what we want to do. We could choose to turn our nose away from good nutrition, from good counsel. We could choose to continue to, you know what? My body, I feel good right now. I'm running marathons. I play ball. I'm doing this, or I'm going here. I'm going there. Again, it's a slow fade with health. Your body is waging war to those foreign invaders medically. We want to hear what God has to say in this. We want to be a good steward of our body. We want to listen to spiritual advisors and those who are combining both health and the spirit together. What a treasure that is. And so we want to take care of our body. Again, we don't know when God's going to call us home, but we don't need to push the envelope with that either. We want to be a healthy representation for God's glory for as long as he will have us here. And we could be more effective to God with our bodies working the way that they need to be. And even when the time comes when this mortal body begins to break down, that will even be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so nobody is selling anybody physical immortality. But what I am sharing with you is that you can have spiritual immortality in Jesus Christ. See, God has designed you to live forever. You will either live apart from him in hell, or you will live with him in fellowship in eternity. You know, Graham said one day when I die, don't be sad. I'm now more alive than I've ever been before. I've said that at every funeral I've ever preached. I just got a call last week from Hanley's. I know Frank well. He says, Pastor, could you come down, comfort a family, and give a service for us, for a family? They're requesting a Christian minister. And I met this lovely woman. She was laying to rest. Her husband was a believer in Jesus Christ. And although that was the first time I met this lovely lady and her husband, who had numerous health ailments, because I knew his faith was in Jesus Christ, I could say without a shadow of a doubt, after sharing comforting words, that he's home with the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you would know that. Now, not that you would feel that or just know it cognitively, but that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that you could literally circle it, nail it down, you know it without a shadow of a doubt. Now, to help us with that, Paul's going to give us information because he had to refocus these people. He had to address their inflammation, and humility is part of it, but also understanding the healing power of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say this, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. It doesn't get any more airtight than that. It's interesting that you and I, we can't emulate Jesus' divine abilities. Some people pretend they can. They think they have these extra powers to do things. They really got to watch out. They were in for a rude awakening. A lot of people that call them Lord, it's not going to work out like they think because they're pontificating and they're pretending. A lot of pretense going on. No. We can never be divine like he is. He has his divine prerogatives. We can't emulate his redemptive work. Only he could do that on the cross. But you know what the one thing is we can emulate? His humility. His humility. Now, Paul's going to lay it out for us. This is an amazing testimony of Jesus Christ. It says this concerning Jesus Christ, who existing in the form of God, because he is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. In other words, he never misused his power on earth. Actually, he laid it down and took on the form of a man. He put on human flesh. It says in verse 7, instead, he emptied himself. This is the opposite of conceit, by the way. He emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And by the way, he was born in absolute poverty. He was born in a dirty feeding trough, for crying out loud. Raised in humble, poor conditions. Bible says the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, the reason why it's in the emphatic tense, even death on a cross, because that was reserved for criminals. The Son of God was hung between two criminals. Because that cross really wasn't for him, it was for us. Because we're the criminals. We're the sinners. That was Barabbas' cross. That was Ray's cross. That was your cross. Even death on a cross. They spread him wide and hung him high, naked on a cross, in total humiliation, the Son of God. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day, every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess. So I ask you this question as we close. Have you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The only way to address the pride in your heart, the inflammation in your spirit, is to bow your knee to the Son of God, to trust in Him as your Lord and your Savior. You know, humbling Himself unto the point of death on the cross, He was subjected to six unjust trials. The King of the universe, beaten, the beard in his hair pulled out, whipped dozens of times. In addition to the 39 times they write about, there were sucker punches as well that took place. And there he hung on the cross for you and I. But God would exalt him. And the way that God would exalt him is that God would fulfill his promise that on the third day, after being laid in the tomb, God would raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And I ask you today, if you have inflammation in your heart, that's a chronic disease. What are you doing for it? You cannot treat this disease in your heart with religion. You cannot treat it with money. You cannot treat it with your grandparents or your mother's or your aunt or somebody else's faith. When I go to a ball game, even now they have the electric technology where you can even put your ticket here, one ticket to customer. You can't get into heaven on somebody else's ticket. You got to have your own ticket. You got to have your own belief. But you might be going, if I follow Jesus, then I got to give up this lifestyle and I got to give up that. Well, so be it. Because Jesus said, what good is it if you gain the whole world yet lose your soul? Now, I got news for you. There's nobody here, nobody listening at home that has gained the whole world. That means all the gold, all the jewels, all the money. So then break that down to where you're at. You're willing to gamble your eternal destiny with just a little bit of what the world has to offer? How ridiculous is that? You need to put your faith in Christ, not in religion, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because God promises to give grace to the humble. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says He resists the prideful, but He gives grace to the humble. Since Paul brought us to the scene of Golgotha, to the cross, why not end there? As he hung there on the cross, he hung between two criminals, didn't he? One mocked him and rejected him. Well, God was now distant from him. But one said, remember me in paradise. That one opened his heart to Jesus. He didn't have time to get off the cross, to get baptized, to go to a class, to give a check, to say a prayer. He didn't have time for any of that. He was dying on the cross, too. He didn't have time to be religious. Just had time to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And I ask you to do the same. Tomorrow is not promised to you. Where are you going to spend eternity when your time is to come? What if your life was to end tonight? Are you hanging over hell with the religion thread? With the good times thread? Or do you know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? One out of one people die. You've heard me say that for 15 plus years. You cannot cheat death, nor can you strike a bargain with it. When it's your time, it's your time. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Hell is a real place. You know, as the preparations were being made for Graham's funeral, the family released what will be on his tombstone: preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the verse underneath is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no way for you to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. And there's no way for you to live out your Christian faith but through Jesus Christ. And so we're going to close in prayer now, and I'm going to invite you to stand with me in reverence for God. And the worship team is going to come, and if you need to open your heart before God, you need to come forward to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to pray with you and do that. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I just want to put my focus back on you. Maybe there's struggles, whatever. This is not a time to run out. We've already taken care of other things. This is the last part of the service. But this is a time to open your heart to Jesus Christ. You know, one of the saddest funerals I've ever had to do in my ministerial career was for a veteran who took his life. He was at a place in his mind. That's why nobody should ever make fun of mental illness, ever. He was at a place, in a dark place in his mind. It was the hardest funeral for me to ever do. I had to find words because I had emotion in my heart that I've never had before. Maybe because I saw the children and I heard them calling to their dad. Maybe because of his sweet wife. And so I got up there and I did the funeral and I said what God had called me to say. And I hugged the family. And then his daddy came up to me, proud of his son and thankful for the eulogy. And he said, I believe every word you said. He goes, my son was baptized in his uniform after he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I share that with you, that my prayer is that we would never come to those depths. But I share that with you to know that no matter what happens in this life and how this life ends, nothing could separate you from the love of God. Because Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. So as the worship team plays, if you need to ask Christ into your heart, just come up to the altar. The altar is open. You come forward. You come to the altar, and we'll pray together, and we'll close out the service. If you need to give your life back to Christ today and say, Lord, I just want to set my focus to you, that's fine as well. We'll sing, and we'll wait for you, and then we'll pray. Come to the altar to the Lord Jesus Christ today if you need Christ today. You cannot trust in somebody else's salvation. You need your own salvation. So don't leave it up to chance. Don't leave it up to religion. I don't care if it's just one person. You need to come to Christ. If you need Jesus Christ, you come today. If you need to rededicate your heart to God, you come today. If you don't want to go up alone, somebody came with you, say, hey, would you come up with me? I don't want to go up alone. Just ask somebody to come up with you. Even if you don't know them, now you get to know them. Come on up with me. You need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, one day we're all going to die, but I want at my funeral, and you should want at your funeral, the fact that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're with Jesus Christ. So we'll sing and you come. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're trusted in being good to get to heaven, you're sadly mistaken. The bricks that pave the way to glory are stained with the blood of Christ, not the good works of men. So if you've come forward or if you're still standing in your place at your seat, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you've never asked Christ into your heart this way, and maybe whatever reason, you've been trusting in religion or you just never heard the gospel this way, you've been coming for a little while and you're saying, I'm ready to receive Jesus as my Savior. We first want to pray for you and then we'll have a prayer of rededication. So if you've never asked Christ into your heart, or you've been unsure where you're going to spend eternity, But now you know Jesus died for my sins. He rose from the dead. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it because I'm going to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because today is the day of salvation for you. Then you pray this prayer right now before the Lord, whether it be aloud in the quietness of your own heart. Just say, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins and turn to you. Forgive me and grant me eternal life. I believe in the power of the cross and the power of the empty tomb. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I commit my life all the days ahead to you until you call me home. For all those that just prayed that prayer after service, we'd love to talk with you in just a moment. Even put a Bible in your hand if you don't have one. We'll have some folks here to talk with you. But let's just say a prayer, a recommitment if you've come forward as well. And repeat this prayer. My Father and my God, I declare myself to you to reflect Jesus' attitude in all I do. I surrender my life to you to be used of your purposes. Clean my heart and clean my mind. Take my pride. Show me your plans. And may I live for your glory. Before we close, let me pray a special blessing. Father God, I thank you for those who have come forward. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to be reminded of your gospel. Lord, we have this condition of pride, but you have nailed that to the cross. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. I thank you for those who have placed their faith in you, and by way of recommitment, others rededicating their life back over. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for what you've done, and we commit these prayers in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.